Father Jim Nisbet from California, tell us what it's like to live in community with other priests and brothers. Some of those people, he says, are very hard to live with, and getting along day by day can be very difficult. All the personality types are there, and all the ordinary human conflicts occur. And he tells some of the stories of those difficult personalities when he gives a talk. And then he considers that out of the love that we are called to, he could imagine himself, even with those difficult people, he could imagine dying for them, even those most difficult people. What he finds harder than that is having to live in harmony with them day by day. Very interesting perspective. And then Father Jim relates this experience to Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. He says that while it is important that Christ died for us on the cross, for which we should be grateful, he is much more impressed that Christ lives with us in the Eucharist. Yes, he took on our sin when he suffered and died. But now, while we remain sinners, redeemed sinners, but sinners all the same, he does not abandon us because of our weakness, what we call concupiscence, the tendency to sin. He does not abandon us, but offers us his flesh and blood every time we come to Mass. On Good Friday, we reflected deeply on the Jesus who suffered and died for us. But at this point in the season of the resurrection, in these passages, we are invited to reflect on the Jesus who lives with us. There's nothing in the gospel so clear, so emphatic, and so definite as these statements of Jesus, that we are to eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood. If we do not take the Holy Communion, we cannot live. St. John Paul II wrote about this. He wrote about this. He says, the Eucharist is too big a gift for there to be any ambiguities, any confusions, or any reductions in its meaning. This food is called communion with him. So we receive Holy Communion to remain united with him, to think like him, to speak like him, to love like him. No other religion has a similar initiative. It is God himself who descends to us to live with us in this great mystery. The Lord addresses this passage from the Catechism on the same theme. The Lord addresses an invitation to us, urging us to receive him in the sacrament of the Eucharist. Truly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Well, that Eucharist, that Jesus, is the same Jesus whom Saul met on the road to Damascus to arrest the Christians. He was so thrilled with the victories at Jerusalem, especially the stoning of Stephen, that the zeal he had for God's law was, in a way, kind of transferred to his persecution. He was absolutely convinced that it was a godly thing to stamp out this sect. You can understand this, in a way, because if Jesus was not the Messiah foretold in all of the scriptures, the Hebrew scriptures, then it really was a threat to the true religion and the worship of God. In that sense, Saul was not an enemy of the faith, he was its protector. But when he fell to the ground, he met Jesus. He heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Jesus didn't ask Saul why he was persecuting the Christians. He made it clear that to persecute the disciples is to persecute Jesus himself. Saul asked, who are you, Lord? That's an interesting way to greet this vision, isn't it? Right away, he knows that this is the Lord. And the reply came, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. And so Jesus and his church are one. Well, also in this experience of Saul's, a light from heaven flashed all around him. It tells us that though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. What a great image, isn't it? That's the condition of most of the world around us. The light of God is flashing all around us, all over the place. But most of the world cannot see it. That's the world we live in. That is why we are persecuted. Jesus is the true light from heaven, but most cannot see him. Not because he is invisible, but because the light from God all around them at that time and today is useless to them in spiritual blindness. Anyone who says, why doesn't God show himself? Then I will believe. We know that this is mostly a lie. Signs of God are all around, but people refuse to believe. Saul was kind of like this. He saw the signs and wonders that had been done, even after Jesus' resurrection, by the others, but he refused to believe that they were from God. The difference is that Saul really was seeking the truth about God. So many of the people who can't see right now in the world truly are seeking truth. So the key is meeting Jesus. When Saul met Jesus, the truth himself, Jesus the truth, his life was changed. The only sign that matters is to meet Jesus. And immediately Saul began to proclaim Jesus as the Son of God, and he became Paul, the great apostle to the Gentiles. I want to finish by mentioning St. Catherine of Siena today. She's sometimes called the Saint of the Eucharist. Her first feast day is April 29th, so that's a week from Monday when we will not typically have Mass here at St. Peter's. In St. Catherine's day, it was very unusual to do what we are doing here today, to receive the Eucharist on a daily basis. One really had to have permission in order to do so. That's the 14th century. And most times it was denied. Catherine, however, received very many mystical graces in the Eucharist. And so great was her profound love of Jesus in the Eucharist. She had visions and ecstasies, often lasting 3 or 4 hours, which took place at communion. Many priests later attested to this fact. And in fact, her spiritual director, her confessor, a Father Raymond of Capua, tells how she was given permission by Pope Gregory the 11th to have a priest at her disposal to absolve her and to administer communion to her whenever and wherever she liked. Wouldn't that be amazing? What shall we do today to enter more deeply into this great mystery? Well, last evening, right here in this sanctuary, we talked about this very passage in the Gospel to the children who are preparing for their first communion coming up in June. And the children, I noticed, were very attentive. And that sort of grade 2, grade 3 level, they are ready. They are open and ready to believe. They were very attentive. And many of them, I think, could sense the light of truth flashing around them as we talked about this. And so we are invited to do the same. Let us, poor weak creatures that we are, subject to concupiscence, subject to sin, let us make ourselves ready to receive him who died for us. And even more importantly, perhaps, is now asking if he can live with us.